You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network.
Stories are important because they are meaningful. And they are meaningful because they are memorable, powerful, and they personally connect us with each other. In this podcast, we take names, faces, hopes, and dreams of people of all walks of life. We are diverse with ages and races. You will have the opportunity to hear these stories in their own words. We believe your story and God's story will intersect with the stories of others. God's story is revealed through scriptures. Your story is revealed through experiences. Their story is revealed in life events. Our hope is that through this podcast, we will recognize that God uses every part of our stories, even the messy parts, to bring glory to Himself, draw His children close, and call others into His family. This podcast is the perfect intersection between your story and God's story. We believe you will leave here inspired, encouraged, and challenged to share your story with the world. Welcome to the Scriptures and Stories Podcast with your host, Rashawn Copeland.
Everybody, what it do? It's your girl, Natalie Nicole. I am a singer, songwriter, actress, dancer, host, script writer, etc. I was discovered by Nick Cannon about 2.5 years ago, and that's pretty much my entire story without all of the testimony. So now that you got that brief run through, I can get in more depth with you. I do only have like 9 minutes, but I'm gonna try to get in as much as I possibly can. You could definitely follow me at Natalie_moments to follow my journey. And if you want to follow any of my other social medias and get some other background on me, you can go to natalienicole.com. That's NatalieNicole.com. All right, I'm going to start with my life scripture. It's my absolute favorite. It is Jeremiah 32:27. I am the Lord God of all mankind. Is there anything too hard for me? And to me, obviously, that answers itself. There is nothing too hard for God. He's basically being sarcastic in that scripture, and I love that. God definitely has a sense of humor. So I'll go ahead and jump into my testimony. I was born in Lubbock, Texas, and I was raised in San Antonio, Texas. I grew up without my father around. I'm mixed race. I'm Hispanic and Black, so I dealt with a lot of racism and things like that growing up in Texas. And I also dealt with molestation at a really, really young age, till like I was like 10 years old, from different family members. And of course, that was traumatizing. But what was so interesting about going through those moments from birth till like 10 was at 5. That's when I for sure consciously knew that I had a purpose and I had a calling. And my mother, thank God for my mother, she always instilled in me that God provides, and if you work hard, He will always meet you where you are. And whether it's in the dark or the light, God is always there and you can always run to Him no matter what you're going through. So I had that instilled in me at a very young age. So to me, that's what was my structure. That was my foundation. So when I was going through all those things, like not having a father around, molestation and racism from birth to 10, I channeled God. I channeled His promise. I knew at 5 that I had a purpose bigger than myself. It wasn't about me. It wasn't about anybody else. Was about God. And I didn't know exactly what it was at that moment, but I knew it was going to come and I knew I was going to get there. Little did I know that I would have to endure all the things that I endured, but I'm so beyond grateful for everything that I went through, including the molestation, including the racism, including the growing up without a father, because it's molded me into who I am and made me able to relate to people on deep, deep levels that not everybody can say that they can do. So that was like the first part of my life. And during all this time, of course, I was in school and I was writing songs and in talent shows and all that good stuff too. Then from like 10 to 13, my mother had gotten married to a very interesting man. He wasn't a good man and he was very abusive and would literally tell me every day that I was never going to amount to anything because I was black, and he happened to be black. So I was like, okay, how does that work? But it was very Cinderella-like. He would make me clean over and over and over again. But during this time is when I probably wrote the most music. I wrote so many lyrics. I would be in my room every single day after school, crying, praying, and singing Mariah Carey at the top of my lungs and writing songs and scripts and things like that. So I have to kind of thank him for that time. It was 3 years that we were living with him. And although it was abusive, I grew. And I sought God even more in those dark times. And I would go to school and I would help other people. They used to call me a preacher in school because I would like try to motivate people and, you know, tell my stories and let them know that they're not alone, that I go through these things too, and we can get through it together. So that's the type of kid I was. So from 10 to 13, that was going on. And then we finally left him. And I was still pursuing my music and in school and things like that. And I wanted to see my father again. I met him one time when I was 8 years old and only saw him for 3 days, and then he disappeared. So when I was about, like I said, 15 years old, I wanted to meet him again. And I had written a song about him called Nobody. It was featured on my first album that I released independently. And I just wanted to tell him that I made it without him. And I was kind of bitter about it, you know. It was a harsh song, but we searched for him, and I went to Abilene and found him, and I showed him the song, but I wasn't mad anymore, and something lifted from me. I wasn't angry anymore, and that I believe that was the grace of God, because God knows my heart. He knows that I don't like being angry or mad or bitter about anything, so he always somehow allows me to get released from whatever is holding on to me, or he allows me to endure and overcome and heal from the craziest of situations. So my whole life is all glory to God. But anyway, so I met my father again when I was 15, and I forgave him and all that stuff. And then, of course, go back to normal life. Very far in between that I kept in contact with my dad, but I've always made an effort no matter what. And I forgive him. There's nothing he could do that could hurt me anymore. I'm over how he is. That's just how he is. He can't help it. So 15 to like 18, 19, 20, etc. I was in organizations. I gave back to my community, things like that. And of course, went through, you know, the typical teenage heartbreaks and things like that, writing songs, performing, and all that good stuff. By the time I was 20, I ended up moving to LA because I was getting signed for my acting, and I wanted to go ahead and pursue my music over there as well, although I had been doing it my whole life. My mother decided to sell everything we had and move to Cali. So we moved. And my mom had a job. It was a good job. And I worked Uber in LA, and we had an apartment and everything was good. And then all of a sudden, 9 months in, we became homeless because my mom's job ended. So I was still doing Uber, and we decided, yo, God didn't send us here for nothing. God did not bring us here for nothing. He gave me a promise. He told me that we're supposed to be here and that we have to ride it out. We cannot go back to Texas right now. So we rode it out. And we slept in the car, was showered at the gym. I still did Uber. My mom found a little call center job near LAX. And we woke up at 3 a.m. every morning, showered, got ready, went to work. I went on my auditions, etc. I was homeless for 10 months. And then Nick Cannon discovered me. I auditioned for Nick Cannon. And I won out of thousands of people. And throughout the whole time, though, that I was homeless, I would post positive stories for people on Instagram, just letting them know that this is real. You go through stuff. You could be on top of the world and everything be taken from you. And you could be any type of person and stuff hits you like this. You cannot ever act like you're better than anybody or act like you won't endure something trying at times, because it's going to come. Especially if you're a child of God, nothing's going to be easy. So I would do that every day. And I'm sure Rashawn Copeland saw all of that, because he was following me at that time. So he would pray for me every now and again, and I was really grateful for that. So thanks, Rashawn. And you know, that happened. And then now I've made several songs with Nick and released some music, and I'm also releasing more music this year, etc. So my testimony is my life. Throughout it all, it's always been God, time after time. There's no explanation other than God working, and I'm just beyond grateful for that. And he's continuously on the move. So make sure you follow me at Natalie_moments on Instagram and follow my journey and see it unfold, because it's definitely in bloom right now, and I'm getting all these wonderful opportunities from different people and different avenues. And I'm excited to share everything with everybody and inspire people along the way as I'm on this journey, because ultimately that's my biggest goal. I'm definitely not a perfect person, but I'm definitely being used. And I'm here to give love, be love, and be loved, doves. Start where you are, and God will take you where you need to be.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm super excited for the guest we have on today. I have a treat for you. Her name is Brittany Moses. Brittany Moses is a writer, a phenomenal writer, a blogger. She's been featured on so many different, you know, blogs, written for the Christian Post, the Huffington Post, Home Magazine, and many more different platforms that God has used her in. Like, I'm really excited about this because we're going to speak about some things that oftentimes we overlook, or we sort of, you know, try to cover, you know, these things up, the things that are happening deep within us, such as depression, anxiety, and things of that sort. So, Brittany, how are you doing?
Hello. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great. I never thought, like, I would actually see the day the person who impacted me, like, in a phenomenal way back when I was coming to Christ through Twitter. Wow. I never thought you'd be on my podcast.
Yeah. This is awesome. Thank you for having me. And I'm so encouraged to hear that because I had no idea. And it's cool how things come full circle.
Yes. Yes. It's exciting. With no further ado, I want to hear your story. I'm interested in knowing, like, you weren't always the Brittany you are today. I want to hear sort of what was, you know, those pivotal moments in your life, what journey God has brought you through and on. And can you share with us about that for those who may not know you, who've been living under a rock? Come on now.
Absolutely. I'm like, oh my gosh, how far back do I go? Well, I can go before my full conversion to Christ. So I was born and raised in the church. My parents served in ministry. They actually served with youth and young adults. And that's where they got close and were married. And here I am. Some years later, when I was around a teenager, things did kind of fall apart with our family, just to keep a long story short. And they ended up going through a divorce. As a teenager, also with transitioning and coping through a lot of my own personal trials, just kind of, you know, falling away from the faith, you know, that period. And when I was 17 years old, I had my son, Austin. I was pregnant at 17.
He's handsome too. Get him on Instagram. Go check it out.
Thank you. He's such a sweetheart. And he's the greatest blessing. At the time, being 18 years old, though, very scary. But God works all things together, and he really did. And Austin has been such a blessing in our lives. But I had Austin at 18 years old, and I remember that just being an awakening, right? A time of awakening where it was like, okay, I've really got to assess my life and what's going on here. And I remember that's when I started going back to church, and I wouldn't even necessarily for the right reasons, you know, but God works it out, because I was kind of like, you know, I'm far gone, but my child needs Jesus, and we're going to get him together. And went back to church. But obviously, God got a hold of my spirit. You know, there was a message on, the message was titled Scandalous Grace.
Wow.
And I'll never forget. It was just about how God's grace is so scandalous, and it really doesn't make sense because, you know, no matter how far you've gone and no matter what you've done, he still reaches out to you, and his gates are wide open. And that just really reframed my whole idea of God's love and how this whole sanctification thing works, you know. Yeah. Thinking, oh, I have to be right. I'm never going to be right. So forget it. That's kind of how I was. But then I began to understand grace and how And how the whole process works of him cleaning you from the inside first and having patience for that process. And, you know, I saw the community, the church community around me, and everyone just was family. And I saw the people around me, they had this light. And I felt like something was missing, you know, and I was like, I don't totally know what I need, but I need this. Like, so I'm going to come back. And I just started going back to church over and over and just really fell in love with my church community. And, you know, I actually started serving. I started volunteering in the kids ministry. And next thing you know, I was in church like 3 days a week, just volunteering. I was in Sunday school doing like the puppet shows and the choreography for the kids worship. And I just fell in love with these kids and their childlike faith. And, so that's when I kind of discovered like, oh, okay, I have some leadership skills. I was helping out at the church office. I do highlight this because I honestly would have never known what I was capable of had, and I had those hidden seasons in the beginning of just serving and realizing that, oh, I have gifts and skills and talents and leadership qualities to offer. So that happened.
And amazing. Thank you for sharing that as well. Like, I'm really interested in knowing, you know, throughout that process, how was it, you know, being so young, I would say, quote unquote, at 18, having a child and walking through that season? And, you know, what can you sort of encourage for probably a younger mom now that may be going through that same season of life?
Oh, that's a really great question, because it is a unique season to be in as a young mom. Honestly, it was very lonely for a time, just because my life now looked different than a lot of my friends and peers. So I didn't really, you know, have the same friendships. Not only was I having natural life changes because of having a child, but I was also coming to Christ now. So like a lot of my friends at the time didn't have the same lifestyle that I was beginning to adapt. And so now I was also looking for, you know, like-minded friends who were believers and on this journey. So I did experience a little bit of, you know, postpartum depression. And just having that life change, I would say that someone who's in that season, it would be beneficial to seek community. Wow. I do believe that was a life changer for me, is seeking community, getting plugged into a church. And I actually met a lot of really great young moms there.
Really?
Friends with to this day. Yeah, that I'm friends with to this day, you know, also from serving in kids ministry. You know, I was like, okay, I was like, I have a kid. So I started serving in kids ministry, and through serving in the kids ministry, I met a lot of other moms in the church and got acquainted with their kids. And then we became friends, because they'd be like, hey, you know, we should hang out sometime, or we should have a play date with the kids, you know? And so I do think a great way to meet people and like bring in community is to serve. Yeah. And I hadn't thought it out that logically or anything at the time. It's just how things unfolded. So yeah, seek out community, get plugged in, meet other moms. And like I said, I met a mom, me and her traveled. We did a couple years ago, we did like a single mom's trip, and we took the kids to Sweden.
Oh,
I know. Really cool. Years later. And this is a woman that I met in my journey when I was in the beginning of my single mom journey as a young woman. And so you never know. You never know what friendships await you. And so you really just have to step out there.
That is so phenomenal. I think about it even in my own life, like it really took me making myself available. I tell people all the time, your greatest ability is your availability. And to be available to, you know, go in those circles where you can be 100% open, being transparent breeds community. You know, and the more you're okay with not being okay, it offers a bridge for, you know, each and every person to grow and build. So, like, it's amazing to know years later, you actually went on a trip with a young lady that you were with, you know, back in the day. Like, you know, you guys grew and you cultivated a strong relationship. And look where you are now. That's so cool.
Right?
So, Brittany, along with that, you talked about loneliness a little bit. Can you speak into a little bit of anxiety and depression, like people who may be going through that right now? And what are some practical ways to sort of, you know, defeat anxiety and depression, or if not, at least, you know, begin the healing process?
Yeah, absolutely. So along with my story, right now I'm at school pursue clinical psychology, right?
Yeah.
And even my start with mental health began in serving at the church, where I was serving again with youth and young adults, and I was running into a lot of mental crises. I mean, heavy things, suicidal, rumination, self-harm, severe anxiety, depression, loneliness, all of this. And just realizing, like, man, a lot of us who were on leadership or those who were on staff actually just didn't really know all the dynamics of what was going on and exactly what to do practically when it came to these situations, other than to, you know, pray and be supportive, which is so helpful. Any form of comfort is always a good thing.
Yeah.
So when it comes to anxiety and depression in the church, you know, one of the first things that I like to highlight is that, you know, statistically, at least in America, around 1 in 4 people are struggling with some type of mental health challenge or diagnoses. So, you know, you better believe they're sitting in the pews. You know, they either aren't talking about it, or they don't even fully understand what it is that they're dealing with. They just know that something's not right, and it probably hasn't been right for a while. And a lot of times they're re-coming to church with the same issues, you know? And so there's that, but also research for over 20 years has shown that when a person is undergoing psychological distress, they will go to their clergy or pastor or spiritual leader before they'll go to a mental health professional. So we are, you know, And that study was actually done not by Christians. Like, that was a secular study that just decided to study that. I can actually send you the link at some point if you're interested. But
you can put that in the show notes.
Yes.
Or even your website. We should actually put your website.
Fantastic. Yeah. So knowing all of that, we know that these issues are showing up in the church, and we know that the church is on the front lines of this crisis, right? Because that's where people go. So when someone is struggling with, say, anxiety or depression in the church, one of the first things I say is, like, no feeling is too small or insignificant. You know, sometimes we kind of feel like, oh, I mean, I could be worse, or I don't know if it's that bad, or this is my issue, I can deal with it. But it's like, no, if something's wrong, or it's been feeling, or you really, when mental health issues become kind of a crisis is when they're feeling very intense, right? We've all experienced some level of sadness. We've all experienced some level of, you know, anxiousness. That's just kind of part of the human experience. But if it's feeling extreme or very intense at some point, right? Or it's feeling prolonged, like you've been feeling this way for a while, I would say over 6 weeks, you know, you've been feeling that way, or you have been having suicidal ideation, or you've been having panic attacks and bodily symptoms accompanying it, then I would take it seriously, not only because your mental health matters, but also because when those who get help do oftentimes feel signs of relief after they've gotten help from someone who can do a proper assessment and can aid their mental health journey. And so that means trying to see a professional. We want competent help, right? We just do. There are people who are specifically trained to understand all the dynamics and symptoms that are going involved with this. And so, and can help you get on a treatment pathway to at least have relief or even recover into where it does not become as much of an issue for you anymore. And you can see your life unfold in a way that's completely different than what you've been experiencing, right? Mm. So that's worth it.
Yes, surely it is. And I know there's many stigmas in the church where people will talk about, like, if your faith was just strong enough, you know, things like that. And I think about the person who's sitting, you know, in the congregation, you know, maybe hearing a pastor or a preacher, you know, say your faith may not be strong enough. That's why you're going through these things. And I think it's just so important to go to a professional at times, although, you know, yeah, God has appointed awesome men of God who can speak into some of these things, but it's important to go to some professionals when that time is, you know, mm-hmm. when that time presents itself, where you really need to get with someone who not like you, a future psychologist, right?
Amen. Yeah. I mean, mental health is not just a spiritual issue, and that's where the stigma comes from. That's kind of where the assumptions come from. We've made the mind this kind of spiritual, existential place. And don't get me wrong, the mind is very spiritual, but you have to think of mental health also as brain health. The brain is still an organ. And so anything can go wrong. It can be something's off with someone's hormones, or they could have, you know, an underactive thyroid, or it could be even hereditary or genetic, to where they're predisposed to have a more of a vulnerability to these things, that are totally out of their control, that are not by will, you know? And so I think the more that we understand that, the more compassion we'll have, the less judgmental we'll be about it. We don't do this with any other type of health, right? If somebody is having heart problems or diabetes or cancer, you know, we're not going to say, oh, just have more faith and believe more. We're going to say, go to a doctor, pray on the way to the doctor, you know, pray for healing, but take medication, get checked, stay so on track. True. And it's the same exact way with mental health, because it is also physiological aspects that are involved.
Love it, Brittany. Now, would you say real quick, because I want to ask you this, because personally, I've struggled with anxiety like a ton, even throughout these past few years. And like one of the bigger things God had to highlight in my life and in my heart and give me a revelation of is that when I'm struggling through, you know, anxiety or any of these other unstable mental struggles, it doesn't necessarily mean that God is far from me. You know, we're all human. We all have our flaws and different things that we're fighting and battles we're all fighting. But yeah, I think it was when it became real to me that God is still near to me through those processes and those, you know, tough times, those pressures of life. It really helped me grow more secure, even deeper into my identity. Have you seen that? Like, play out in people's lives where they were struggling with that unstable, you know, sort of perspective of like, if God is with me, or, you know, if he's just some far off God who isn't concerned or who doesn't care.
Yeah, that's hard, right? Like, that's where we get into the faith crisis, because really the underlying belief is, God, if you're here and if you care, why won't you remove this from me? You know, why am I still struggling with this? But I think that to even start off with that type of theology is not in alignment with what we see in scripture. Even with those that we see highlighted as those God has called and chosen, we look at Job, we look at Paul, who had a thorn, you know, in his side that God didn't remove. And, you know, the whole message is that God is with us through these things. And he uses these not only to draw us near to him, right? I do believe that there's a sort of sensitivity that we have when we go through these trials that really does help us become more passionate, more humble, and draws us closer to lean into God's strength and rely on his sovereignty. And so that kind of makes it beautiful.
Yes.
You know, so it's more of, and not only that, but at least in my experience, and you've probably experienced this as well, every single time I've gone through something that just seemed unbearable, it just seemed like, why am I going through this? I just went through so many things so young.
Yeah.
That I was it's like, always why? Yeah, I'm like, why am I, you know, why am I going through so much? This is ridiculous, yeah. God. Who do you put this on? And, but every single time somebody or even a number of people following that have gone through the exact same things wow. that I've gone through, and I'm able to sit with their soul, I'm able to sit with them and not be afraid of their darkness, not be afraid of what it is they're facing or overwhelmed by it, because I've been there. I can sit there and say, there is another side to this, and I understand where you're at. And it yeah. really tethers us. It tethers us all in this human experience. And if we didn't have that, you know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
Where would we be?
Yeah, exactly, Brittany. And I think that's what, because I heard even in one of your podcasts, which we're going to talk about, so, you know, here in a little bit, so people can go and subscribe. And, you know, because I think it's so important. You highlighted on, like, reading the scripture, exercising, and all yeah. these things. But if I weren't, like, if it wasn't for me waking up in the morning, you know, and actually having a desire to jump in God's word and read scriptures from David, like, oh, how my soul is downcast and all these right. different things where I can relate to him and realize, like, even the spiritual giants went through these things. Like, they had their struggles as well. What makes us think that we won't, you know? So, right. yeah, it's so important.
That's good. That's good.
I do want to touch on something that you lightly mentioned, because I know it's a serious place we should address. And, like, there may be someone right now who has someone in their life or they know that is having suicidal thoughts. Do you have any advice or an encouragement, a word that can, you know, instruct them on, you know, what's the best next thing for them to do for a loved one who may be going through, you know, a tough, dark, you know, dire season or something, you know, something yeah. they can tangibly, practically leave with.
Yes. And I'll send you an article for this okay. as well. I know I'm like full of articles.
Yeah.
But I feel like an article will break it down even more. And it's
guys. Yeah.
It, yeah.
On the day we released this podcast.
Yeah. It's what awesome. To do if you or someone, you know, is having suicidal thoughts. So, you know, hearing someone close to you or a loved one having suicidal thoughts, it can be a very scary thing. And I think that the average person would find it intimidating. I know I used to when I was in church, it'd be like, oh my gosh, like, this is, what do I even say? Like, where do I even start? You know,
yeah.
And just understanding that, first of all, when someone's having suicidal thoughts, a lot of times they're overwhelmed by pain and distress. Mm. And for some people, it's not necessarily that they want to die, but they feel like this is the only answer to escape it.
Wow.
And so understanding that what they really need and want is reprieve, right? Yeah. From these overwhelming stressors, this overwhelming pain, or whatever it may be. And so offering that reprieve, for one of the things that, well, I went through mental health first aid. I got certified a while ago, and this is what they kind of walked us through. So I'll just share this with you as well.
Okay.
As far as training goes, if someone mentions that they're having suicidal thoughts or they're feeling suicidal, you know, gauging where they are for one, mm-hmm. you know, and asking them, you know, how long have you been having these thoughts, you know, or so, you know, do you have a plan right now to act on it, or where are you at? Right. You want to know that, because if
yeah.
you kind of have a plan wow. in mind, or if, you know, they're thinking of ways, you know, then it's really serious. That's when it's really serious. And you want to, you know, take them to get help, like, hey, I'll drive with you to the hospital or whatever it is, you know, to be there for them. Some of the things that this is going to sound really, I don't know, it can sound off-putting.
Okay.
But even asking them what is keeping them here, right? Because sometimes if you can get them to talk more about why they're staying, whether it is the family or the child or the parents or the loved one, mm. you know, Continuing to talk about that is a good thing, just keeping them anchored. But definitely, definitely, once somebody's mentioned that, referring them to help. And I can even provide you with, you know, some resources and things like that. Obviously, there's a suicide hotline. And I always tell people, you know, there are people who are trained to just be there for you and listen to you 24/7 at any time. So you don't have to go through these thoughts alone. Just really reinforcing that they're not alone, because it, you feel alone, you know? And so getting them to open up, getting them to talk, getting them to reprieve themselves, to release where they're at, can be a huge first step. Just sitting with them and offering to be with them through the process of whatever it is that they need. So I think that when you understand more of the dynamics that's going on within the person, it's a little less intimidating, and you feel a little bit more equipped to help navigate with them through it. It's not about having all the answers, you know, but at least being some type of comfort in that moment, some type of reprieve, and then helping direct them to more help.
That is so valuable, Brittany. Thank you so much for sharing. I pray like that blessed you guys, because it blessed me. And I'm definitely going to be taking my notes on this podcast. You know, I'm already taking notes, but really quick, Brittany, I wanted to also, you know, before we, you know, close out on a couple more, you know, after a couple more questions, I wanted to ask you, like, from here, I know you're currently a student at UCLA, but from here, where is God leading you? Like, what's the next thing in the next season of your life, you know, the focus for you going forward? Is there anything, you know, specific that you have in mind for digital, for your digital platform, and for anything else, practices, or
when you first asked, I'm like, finish school, please, God. That's a great question, because it's fine. It's something I find myself kind of caught in between. Right. Because I love digital media. I love doing the podcasts, the blogs, things like that. But realistically, school just takes up so much of my mental energy and time. And it's really important for me to master the information and to actually be helpful and not just be some figure online that looks like I know what I'm talking about. It is inspiring and is full of, you know, hot air. I actually want to know what I'm talking about, have an expertise, and be able to really holistically, you know, provide treatment and help in the future. That's my goal. And so school is definitely my number one focus, which means that sometimes online media takes a backseat, but I would ideally love to continue the podcast, having real conversations about the intersectionality of faith and mental health. Just keep putting out information online that is helps bring awareness or perspective to all of this. And, you know, we'll see. Only God knows. I'm at this point, I'm just like, Lord, so it'd be great if I could finish school. I'm looking to pursue my doctorate. So that's I've sold my life to academia. So
I'm so excited for you. And that's so humbling to hear you say that. Like, one, it's this big task of just finishing school, but you're saying it in a way that you're so focused on the detail of just making it past the next step, the next, you know, getting there one step at a time.
Yeah.
And another thing that really inspired me about you saying that is like, at times, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves investing a ton on social media. And we can end up being really shallow in what we're supposed to be bringing, the value we should be bringing, instead of going deep in devotion to what God's calling us to, you know. And so it's important. That was a great reminder. I'm sure someone, you know, really checked off the block on that, like I did. So that's really good, sister. Man.
Well said.
Man. So Brittany, okay, here we are now. So going forward, can you share with me real quick a verse that is your life verse? You know, you on the Scriptures and Stories podcast, we've heard your story. Now we want to hear that scripture. What's that verse God is really, you know, wrapped around you in your life, especially in this season?
There's so many verses, but I know to pick one out of the whole Bible. I would say right now, I love 2 Corinthians 1:4, probably just because it's in alignment with the personal mission and calling I feel God has on my life. And so 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, "He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us."
Wow.
And I love that verse because it really just ties back into everything we were talking about earlier. You know, I really believe that when we go through these trials, these seasons, these tribulations, these heart knot lessons, you know, God is using it all, and he's compiling it all for the mission he's tasked us with, to reach back and help those who are, you know, going to be in the same situations. I always say, like, it could be me today and you tomorrow. It could be you today and me tomorrow. You just never know. And so, you know, just taking the time to actually sit under your trial and be matured in what it is that God is trying to teach you or mold in you, so that you have the wisdom, you have the character, you have the depth to be able to sit with others and meet them where they are and, you know, help see them through. And I just feel like that's definitely a life mission of mine. And so I really love this verse because it puts it all in context.
So good, Brittany. All right. So, woo, love that. As we, as we land the plane, I wanted to, one, see if you had any resources, even a book or something we could point everyone to. I know your website. Can you share, like, your website, your social media, and also any other resources that you may have that can help, you know, sort of, you know, put people who may be struggling with mental illness on the right track?
Yeah. I would say my website definitely is the hub for all housing, all things like the podcast, the app, the Faith and Mental Wellness app. I also have actually an Instagram page that's called Christian Mental Health, like literally just Christian Mental Health. And there is where I post all things Christian Mental Health. And so that's just a really great encouragement page that I love. My podcast is the Faith and Mental Wellness Podcast. And my Instagram is my name, Brittany Moses. Twitter is Brittany _Moses. And you can find me on Facebook as well. So pretty straightforward.
Amazing. Brittany, would you mind praying for us as we go out?
Awesome. All right. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this time together and for opening the space for these conversations, right? We know that you're close to the brokenhearted. You know, how much more do you feel for your children who are going through the trials and tribulations of this world? And just, I pray that you would, whoever's listening to this now and they do feel like God just feels so far, I pray that they would begin to see your hand in their lives, whether it's through that person that just comes in at the right time, or through resources that you connect them with, or just a gentle word that you breathe into their spirit. Lord, I pray that you show them that you are with them and that they see it. I pray that those who are just deeply struggling, that you would divinely connect them with the right resources. Your way is perfect. You know exactly what they need. And that's what brings me comfort, is knowing you know exactly where to reach us. You know exactly what we need. And so I pray that you continue to comfort them. I pray that you continue to empower them to see the purpose and calling that you have over their lives, and that all of this is not meaningless. It's not purposeless, and that you are using it all, Lord. And so thank you so much for your grace. Thank you so much for new mercies every day and new beginnings, and that we can start over no matter what anybody has gone through yesterday or in the past 24 hours. We can completely start over with you. Thank you again. Cover us from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. In Jesus' name, amen.
Awesome. Brittany Moses. Okay, guys, make sure you go to her website, connect with her podcast, her social media. Again, thank you so much, Brittany.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Scriptures and Stories with Rashawn Copeland. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. For more information about this show, visit convergepodcastnetwork.com.